This week, December 10th, 2013, on The Digital Story. Organizing your 2013 photo library and preparing for next year. On the Nimbleosity Report, the Canon PowerShot S10, a great deal on a super camera. And from the Photo Help Desk, the Ziploc bag trick. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have three hot topics for you today. Yes, and one of them is photo organization. Now, I know typically those words, photo organization, don't really get the blood boiling. However, we're at the end of 2013. We've been taking pictures all year. Maybe some of us, myself included, have become a little lax in how we've, well, let's just say, kept our house clean. So photo organization is like a cool thing right now because for those of us in North America, it's a little chilly outside. In fact, it's super cold outside. And getting our pictures in order for 2013 not only helps us with all the shots we took this year, but helps us be prepared for next year so we get a nice clean start to 2014. Now, I've been working on this, and what I want to talk about, a little bit about kind of what I do as I go along, and then what I'm doing right now. And there are so many different ways to do this. I mean, I'm just going to say that at the top of this segment, there are a ton of ways to do this. And I'm going to talk about a way, but you can always sort of pick and choose little things out of someone's technique, apply them to the way that you like to work, and maybe just improve things just a little bit. And I tell you, in the world of photo organization, any improvement is welcomed, and you know exactly what I mean there. Now, one of the things I've noticed about this year's work, 2013, is what an impact that flash hard drives have had on how I organize things. And I say that because I work primarily on a MacBook Pro Retina display, the 15-inch model, that has a 256-gigabyte flash drive for its storage. In the world of RAW photography, 256 gigabytes isn't a whole lot. So I've had to come up with a method that allows me to shoot as many pictures as I do, have fun with them in Aperture, yet find a way to keep them organized and back them up. Now, the way that I've been doing this, and you can also do this in Lightroom and to some degree even iPhoto. What I do is I create projects, basically, for each photo shoot in a library, in an Aperture library. And that goes right on my computer, right on my MacBook Pro, right on that flash drive. And the reason why I do that, I'm not doing referenced anymore, is because when I have the RAW file and the catalog and everything right there on that fast drive, on that fast computer, editing and sorting and organizing is really a joy. It's fun. And I don't want to go back to the days where I see the spinning wheel every time I want to do something with a retouch brush or skin softening or something like that. I hate that. So I'm very much enjoying the speed that having a flash drive brings to my photo management. Now, as I mentioned, the capacity is an issue, though. So I have a library, and the way that I've been working is I sort of divide the library up by seasons. So I'll have a winter library, and then I'll have a spring library. And then if I'm shooting in a lot, maybe I'll have a second spring library. And I fill up those libraries with pictures and projects until I start to see that I don't have a whole lot of disk space left on my MacBook Pro. When that point comes, then I close out the library and I copy it onto my Drobo. Now, I've been doing incremental backups along the way because, you know, I believe in backing up stuff. But I do sort of like a final closeout, copy the final library onto the Drobo, mark it as final, and then I start a fresh library on my computer. So I just sort of do that over the course of the year, and I keep them in a folder on the Drobo called Temporary Libraries. And I can always go back and work on those images. And because I have a Drobo that has the Thunderbolt connector, I can actually work right off the Drobo. I don't have to copy things onto my computer. So what happens to me now, this time of year, at the end of the year, is that folder of temporary Aperture libraries has quite a few libraries in there. And each of those libraries has a whole bunch of projects. Now, what I want to do is integrate all of that work into my master Aperture library, which also lives on the Drobo. Now, that master library now runs 2010, 11, 12, and when I finish this project, 13. 4 years in one Aperture library. Why do I like to do that? Because I have discovered that by having all of that content in one library, it's much easier to search and find things. Because now I can enter a keyword, or just any word at all, in the search box in Aperture, and it will search 4 years worth of photos instead of just 1 year. So that's why I switched to that, and what I had to do was find a drive that was big enough and fast enough to allow me to do that. And this Drobo 5D with the Thunderbolt connector will do that. Other drives that are large capacity that have Thunderbolt will also do that. So, you know, pick which flavor works best for you. Now, the way that I get those temporary libraries into my master library, into my big library, is quite easy. You just use the import command in Aperture. You go to, you know, you open up your big library, right? Big library. You go to File, Import, Import Library. You navigate to, let's say, your first library of the year. Let's say it's the Winter Library. You bring that in. And what Aperture will do is it merges that library in with the existing one. It brings in all those projects. The projects are maintained. Albums are maintained. All the work that you did, everything that you did in the order that you did it is respected when you bring those libraries in. So you are literally integrating those seasonal libraries into your master library. And it just works fantastic. Now, once I'm done with that, then I can get rid of those temporary libraries. Once I've created my master library, I should say updated my master library, I can get rid of those incremental libraries along the way. Now, you got to be really careful about marking things and keeping track of stuff because you don't want to delete something before you've actually integrated it, or you'll be sad. And that, I mean, that's a big sadness. If you delete a whole season and lose it, then you will be extremely sad. That's like big sad face. Okay, so you don't want to do that. You want to be meticulous about your work. But I am, and I would imagine that you probably are too. Now, so that's the first part. And I have finished that part. I've integrated all of my temporary libraries from 2013 into the master library that now runs from 2010 to 2013. But as I've talked about before, all that lives here in at the studio in one spot. Now the Drobo has redundancy and all that sort of stuff. So I'm protected against one of those drives in the Drobo going south on me. That happens. I just put in a fresh drive and Drobo will, you know, regenerate itself. It will grow back its arm, so to speak. But that doesn't protect me if something happens here at the studio. Flooding, theft, all that kind of stuff. Fire, my God, I'm just going to cancel all that. I'm knocking on wood and canceling at the same time. May none of that ever happen here. Period. Done. So be it. However, I still want to be protected, just in case. Or just in case I do something wacky. Maybe I'll protect myself. Maybe I'll protect me from myself. So that's where I have to have redundancy. Now, the way that I do that is I actually have bare metal drives that I keep in a case. And I have one of those docks. Well, I have two of those docks. I have one of those docks here, and I have a dock at home. And the docks work where you just, you know, drop the drive into the dock, and the dock has a USB connector. And then suddenly the hard drive shows up on your computer. And the nice thing about it is you're just shuttling back and forth, you know, the drives themselves. And I have little cases for them and everything. It's actually a pretty cool system. But I do those by year. I don't do a master library because that system is not nearly as fast as the Drobo with the Thunderbolt. It's a USB connection, and I can't really run libraries off it very well and all that. And a big library would just choke it. So this is a very cool thing about that you can do in Aperture that I like. And then you can emulate this with other applications too. In my master drive, the way I organize it is by year. So I have 2011 folder, and then you open that up. And then inside there, I have like a few basic categories: events, people, places, plants and animals, things. Those are folders. And then within those folders, I have the various projects that fit. And each project starts out with a date and then a label. So for instance, 10-13 Oktoberfest, that would be the name of a project. 10 standing for October, 13 standing for 2013. So they're all pretty well organized. But what you can do in Aperture is that you can click on the folder, in this case the 2013, the whole year, that has all this stuff in it, and then you can export that as a standalone library. So in Aperture, you can export folders as standalone libraries, albums as standalone libraries. It's really neat. So now what I can do is just export 2013, back that up on one of these hard drives that I shuttle back and forth. That goes off to the home. And yes, I have them for 2011, 2010, 9, 8, all the way back. And because that they're smaller chunks, they're not these libraries that span this huge breadth of time, then when I do load them up via USB, if I had to, the computer can actually manage it. And if, heaven forbid, something went wrong with my master library here, remember, I can always integrate all of those annual libraries into one big one if I want to. It's very easy. You just use the import command and you just merge them all together. So that's what I'm doing to clean up for 2013. Now, as I'm looking ahead to 2014, I'm thinking, well, it's going to be pretty much the same system because I'm not making any real hardware changes. I'm still going to keep going with my MacBook Pro Retina display with the 256 gigabyte flash drive. I only upgrade my laptops. I try to only upgrade them once every 3 years. So I try to make them last 3 years. I'll be going into, I think, the third year for this laptop. So one more year, 2014, maybe near the end of 2014, depending on what Apple does, and depending on what my finances do, I might be able to upgrade. And then I'm hoping I could get a larger capacity flash drive. But even then, let's say I get 512, or let's say, heaven forbid, I'm totally rich and I can get a 1 terabyte flash drive. I would still fill it up. I would still have to do some sort of system because 1 terabyte drive is not going to get me through an entire year of photography and everything else that I do. So I still have to have some sort of system. But as I look to 2014, I think I'm just going to do the same thing again. I'm just going to work with the temporary libraries and then integrate them into the master library, backing them up along the way. And you may be wondering, well, how often do I back up a temporary library? I try to do it once a week. Once a week is how often I try to do this. And I do have a bunch of them. So I delete those off. And I only integrate the latest of the temporary libraries into the master. Now, you can do this with Lightroom. It's not quite as easy because Lightroom, I don't think, is quite as flexible in terms of how it manages, you know, catalogs. But certainly, you can develop a system that emulates this. If you're an iPhoto user, I'll tell you what I'd recommend doing, in all honesty, is spending the money for Aperture. Because, you know, iPhoto and Aperture have the unified library. So you can open the library in either app. Open up your iPhoto library in Aperture, clean it up the way I talked about here. And then even if you don't want to use Aperture again, even if you want to use iPhoto, all of that organization that you do in Aperture will be reflected in iPhoto. So I think it's worth spending the money, the $89 for Aperture, just to use it as a tool to clean up your iPhoto library. Not to mention that you have all those image editing tools and extra goodies in there. But just for organization, it's not a bad idea because the organizational tools inside of iPhoto aren't as strong as they are in Aperture. So that is my 2013 end of the year, clean the garage, get everything organized, and then step back and look at it and just swell with pride. You're so happy that you did this. I have that glow right now because I just finished the project and I'm smiling big. I hope that you can put some of your extra time that you can steal away. Remember, you can do this while watching football, basketball, Downton Abbey repeats. Just about anything. It's a nice thing to do. You can talk with the family while you're doing this because there's a lot of just sort of waiting for things to copy and process and stuff. So think of this as an activity perfect for this time of year with major benefits for you as a photographer. Story number two. On the Nimbelocity Report, I'm going to talk about the Canon PowerShot S10 compact camera. Now, those of you that follow these sort of things, you know that the S10 is last year's model. The current model right now is the S120, which is an excellent camera. But it costs you nearly $400, depending on where you shop. Anywhere, let's say, from $350 to $400 for the S120. The S110 is available all over the place. I have a link to B&H Photo for $219 for the S110. And for $219, this is a heck of a camera. And I've tested it even. And I'll go over the specs just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. And you'll see that your $200 buys a lot of capacity here. First of all, it only weighs 6.1 ounces and it's less than 4 inches wide. So it has a very high nimbelocity rating that way, 6 ounces. It has 12.1 megapixel resolution, and it has a 1 over 1.7 inch CMOS sensor. So it's not a huge sensor by any stretch of the imagination. It's a decent sensor for this type of camera. I will tell you, though, that the pictures are very good. And in the end, that's what counts, right? The lens is a 24 to 120 millimeter image stabilized lens and is f2.0 on the wide end. Has a 3-inch pure color touchscreen LCD display. That's very nice. Now, this is one of the differences between the S110 and the 120. So S110 has, I don't know, 400,000 and 450,000 dots on this 3-inch LCD, and the 120 has 900 and some odd thousand dots. So there's one of the little trade-offs between the two cameras. Beautiful screen, though. It looks great. DIGIC 5 image processor, intelligent image stabilization, high-speed autofocus mode, full HD 1080p video with stereo sound, up to ISO 12800, so 12800, ND filter, neutral density filter built in, multi-aspect ratio RAW. And also the thing about RAW, if you like to shoot RAW plus JPEG, as I do, because I have that iPad workflow that I use, I can choose on this camera to have RAW, and then I can choose the size of the JPEG that goes with it. You don't get that very often on the compact cameras. You usually get just one size JPEG to go with your RAW files. I pick a medium size with the RAW, and that way they transfer quickly onto the iPad, but they give me enough resolution. So that's really cool. Movie Digest, which is fun. I learned about Movie Digest when I was taking pictures with a PowerShot N. And over the course of the day, it will build a movie for you of all the little things you take pictures of. It's really cute. Now, super, super important, Wi-Fi is built in. And I've tested the Wi-Fi. You use it with a camera window, the Canon app. It works just like the PowerShot N. It works just like my 70D. It works really well. And you can transfer images back and forth. It can create its own access point. It's wonderful. And the built-in Wi-Fi, I think, is really one of the strong selling points to this camera, because you have super compact camera that you can send images both to your iPhone or your iPad or your Android device, because the Canon software works on all of these. And it works very well. So you can shoot RAW, JPEG, and have Wi-Fi. It has built-in HDR, has an electronic level, has HDMI out. It has copyright imprinting, you know, where you can go copyright Derek's story, and then the year and all that sort of stuff. All this is built into a camera that, again, weighs 6 ounces, and you can get for $219. And the images look fantastic. Now, I started out with this line. I actually had the original PowerShot S90, and I had not upgraded after that. The S90 is so good that to this day, it's a very capable camera. But when I was looking at the specs and looking at the price of this almost latest version, the S110, and, you know, I really like having Wi-Fi in all my cameras. For me, it's a very important part of being nimble. So either I have a Mobi card, an iFi Mobi card, or I have built-in Wi-Fi. And when I looked at the specs of this camera, and then I knew that it had a great track record, because my S90 is still in perfect shape, taking fantastic photos, and I could get the Wi-Fi and some of these other goodies, I just think this is too good of a deal to pass up. And I'm super happy with it. I spent my own money on this one. $219, spent my own money. It's a deal. So if you're looking for someone for a great compact camera that is affordable and has a super high nimbleosity rating, check out the link in the show notes for the S10 for $219. You just can't miss. It is an exceptional little piece of heaven. Okay, story number 3 today. The Ziploc bag trick. I'm not sure it's a trick, but it's a good tip. And again, cold weather here in North America. However, this comes in handy in all sorts of environments. What I like to do is have a nice Ziploc bag. Not the cheapy little sandwich bag, but something that, is one of the nicer ones with a better seal. And I keep that in a camera bag, and I like a size that will fit anything that's in my camera bag. So in my nimble bag, it only has to hold up to my Micro Four Thirds. In my DSLR bag, I need the bigger one. Now, why? Why is this so important? Because it has so many uses. The number one use right now that comes to mind is that when it's very cold outside and I'm shooting in this cold weather, or I've been out with my camera gear in this cold weather for a while, before I come in, before I come into the warm house, I put the camera in the Ziploc bag, seal it up, and then I come in the house and I let the camera warm up inside the bag while I'm in the house. What that does is that prevents any chance of condensation forming on the camera itself. Any condensation that's going to occur is going to happen on the Ziploc bag. And, you know, for cold weather shooting, this is really, really handy. It really helps keep your camera from, you know, basically from sweating. So that's the number one use this time of year. However, having this, if the weather gets bad, what I'll do is I'll carry my camera inside the Ziploc bag, use it like a glove, the Ziploc bag like a glove, pull the bag off, shoot with the camera when it's raining, and then slide the camera back in the bag so that I can walk around and I don't have to be, you know, opening up my camera bag and getting the inside of the contents wet every time I pull my camera in and out of that. So it comes in really handy as sort of like, you know, a rain guard, right, that you can just slide it on and off and take pictures. Another instance, and this is not in the winter, but in the summer, when you're in a very dusty condition, this desert, beach, even with the wind blowing, things like that, the bags can protect your camera from dust. And dust is a big deal. You know, dust can be just as bothersome as moisture. So the camera, the Ziploc bag works great in dusty conditions. And then you can always carry stuff in it. It's great having a bag with you that you can actually, you know, if you, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be for camera gear. Suddenly, you find a spot on the beach where there's a whole lot of beach glass and you want to collect it. You've got a Ziploc bag with you to do that. You know, so got leftovers from... It's true. I've actually done this. That's why I'm laughing at myself. You have leftovers from lunch that, you know, you don't want to give up that second half of sandwich because you know you're going to want it later. So put it in the Ziploc bag, put that in the camera bag, and then around 2 o'clock when I get hungry again, I have the rest of my lunch to eat. They just come in super handy. They don't take up very much space, and it's, I think, especially for me this time of year, along with rubber bands and white business cards, they're one of the most handy, affordable photo accessories in my Nimble Photographer bag. Okay, let's get on to a little virtual camera club business. The photo assignment for this month is high ISO. And we're already getting some cool entries on this. High ISO. How much fun is that, right? This gives you an excuse to crank that thing up to 6,400 or 112,000 or, you know, whatever the heck the top setting is on your camera. It doesn't have to be at the top setting. Yes, you can shoot at 3,200 or I guess even 1,600 ISO. But I'm trying to give you an excuse to just crank it up, do something fun, and submit it for this month's photo assignment. So it's high ISO. You have to the end of the month to turn that in. If you have any questions about it, just go to the member info page at thedigitalstory.com. It'll tell you how to do it. Basically, you send me an email attachment. Get the subject line correct. And one of those folks, one of those entries, will be the Sizzle Picks pick of the month. Now, last show, I announced the last three winners, and they're in the show notes. So if you didn't hear last week's show and you're wondering, you can go check that out. But one person for each photo assignment is selected by Sizzle Picks to be the pick of the month, and they will get a free Sizzle Picks. And that is cool. Why? Well, because Sizzle Picks, as anyone knows that walks into my studio and looks at the gallery downstairs, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. They are shiny, intense, sharp, saturated, just eye-popping images. You know, it's really funny. I mean, people come over, clients come over that know I'm a photographer, and they'll look at the sizzle pics on the wall, and this is, you know, this hurts a little bit. And they'll go, "Did you take these? Did you take these?" Yes, I took them. They're my shots. This is a photography studio. But they act amazed. They act amazed that those pictures on the wall were taken by me, because, I don't know, they look so otherworldly, I guess. But sizzle pics will do that. They'll make you look really good. SIZZLPIX.com. You can go there directly, or we have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And it's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And then, of course, our long-standing sponsor, Red River Paper. And they are very top of mind right now, because I have been printing lately. I'm in one of those printing moods. I think it's the time of year that has something to do with it. And I'm continuing to print the Nimble Photographer holiday cards, because those go in the gift sets that I'm shipping out. So I'm printing the fine art cards, which I love doing, but I've also been printing 13 by 19 inch prints, because I want to put some stuff on the wall at home. I'm going to put some, I've been working on a series that's going to go in the sitting room at the house, and a series of autumnal vineyard landscapes. And I've been printing those out on a polar pearl luster paper. The polar pearl luster is beautiful, just so beautiful. And sizzle picks, Red River Paper, I have to get my sponsor straight here. They sell the paper at about 40% off, because they make the paper, they ship the paper, and you get to enjoy the paper. Beautiful stuff. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they have a rockin' Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And last but not least, just want to remind you, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, if you go to the digital story first, in the second column there, about halfway down the pages, they have advertising tiles for each of them. If you click on that first, that'll take you over to the site. It doesn't matter what page they take you to, then you just go to where you want to go. And that helps support the site. All right, that is going to do it for me this week. I'm debating on what to talk about next week. I've got like three things that are really cool. I think I'm going to have some announcements for you either next week or the week after that are really interesting. January, I'm just going to tell you right now that January is going to be a rocking month for our virtual camera club, because there is some stuff coming down the pike. So stay tuned for that. Come back next week. Take some pictures. Organize your existing pictures. And I'll meet you back here next week. Until then, bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.